Yeah. So we had finished that long toast vote. So we have one more toast vote here. So Ella Mevarech Amatzah V'Ochel Mevarech Amaror, etc. Right. So you make the bracha on matzah and you eat it. You eat the bracha on maror, you eat it. So then he says, Im Hayah Korech Shnehem Yachat Tchila. Because if you'd started with Korech, Ati Maror Derabanan Umivatel Limatzah. Because if you had them first, Maror would be Mevatel the matzah. Im Hayah Ochel Matzah below Maror Tchila. And if you would have had matzah without maror first, kishaya korchan acharkach ati matzah dirishut mevatel maror derabanan. So now Tosafot gives you something fascinating. He says, you know why you have to do it in this order? Because if you started with korech, so then the Gemara already said you potentially run the problem mitzvot mevatel tzu. But what happens if you started with matzah and then you went straight to korech? Because as remember we said, mitzvot mevatlo zuzu only works if the darabon is mevatlo daraita, but daraita isn't mevatlo daraita, and daraita wouldn't be mevatlo darabanan. So it should be fine. He says, no, it wouldn't be fine. Why? Because then if you add matzah first, now the matzvah, there's three levels. There's mitzvah, there's darabanan, and then there's not even darabanan. So if you've already had matzah, it's not even darabanan, it's reshut. And the maror, if you hadn't eaten maror, would be Derabanan, and just like Derabanan comes as Mevatel Daraita, Reshut of Matzah would now be Mevatel, the Derabanan of Maror. He called it Reshut. He called it Reshut, which is voluntary. And then he says, but this is again only because we don't paskin like Hillel. But if we had possible hilav dinin achi matzah lechuda v'hadar matzah maror b'kricha, then you would have done matzah and then korech. Kevin drach latzot midrabanan mitzvah kricha kehillel have a derabanan midrabanan. If you really held like Hillel, then you would do matzah separately and then you do matzah and maror together, because now what do you have on the derabanan level, a mitzvah to be korech. And then they'd both be derabanan. So would they mevatel each other? No, they'd be fine. Okay, so if we just review where we are again. So, again, we saw the two or three shita in the Gemara. Let's just summarize. So we saw that Rashbam thinks there's three shita. There's Hillel thinks you're chayav. Then there's the first shita in the Gemara that it's usur, mevatlot. Then you have mutter. Tosafot thinks there's only two, which is according to Hillel, you should, but you don't have to. And nevertheless, why do we learn? How do we learn that he holds ein mevatlot? Because ein mevatlot means obviously you can. So if you have a pasuk that pushes it up, which says you should, the other sheet of the Chachamim says you can. How do I know that they hold mevatlot zuidzu? Because if it weren't for the pasuk, then you couldn't do it. But now that you have the pasuk, it bumps it up to can. But there is no such shita that you must, and there's no such shita in the end of the day that you can't in this case. That doesn't mean there isn't a shita that mitzvah mavatlo zuidzu. It's just that the pasuk by Korech tells you that it's not the case here. We talked about the different possibilities of what bittul means. One is ta'am, and we talked about all the problems with ta'am, because if it's ta'am, why does it matter? Derabanan and deraita, and we talked about all the mashal of God being the three Michelin star chef, and he's suggesting the pairing, or based on the Rav's argument, that even the chachamim hold that there's a tseruf, right? That mara and matzah are meant to be combined in some way. Tseruf. Combined. Right, they aren't completely distinct, even though they aren't in together, but they are not distinct. Right, they're meant to be paired, and since they're meant to be paired, so that would be why it is not batal. We talked about the model of quantitative overload. We talked about chibu of mitzvah and all the complexity in the miri, and the hefsik issue, that the physical hefsik. Of course, if it's hefsik, that's only going to be when if you do a Rabbeinu Chananel, that the maror actually wraps the matzah, but if you ate them in a classic sandwich, it wouldn't be a problem at all, because there'd be no hefsek. We talked about chibuv mitzvah, the Meiri goes in Binyamin's direction, which is that it's only something which is at least a mitzvah derabanan, which is going to create a problem because it needs to be something halachically recognized, not something completely extraneous. But we saw that others think it's the exact opposite. Right? Tosus thinks it's the exact opposite and says, no, no, no. The less mitzvah it is, the worse it is. And we try to justify both of those possibilities. And that's where we left off. And then again, we just read this Tosfot, who now introduces the interesting possibility. And now let's sharpen, in light of everything we've seen, what this Tosfot tells us. Because what this Tosfot tells us, interestingly, is that it's not just the Heftza Shel Mitzvah that's relevant here. What is it? The Kium HaMitzvah that's relevant here. How do I know that Tosfot holds that? Because Tosfot says that if I eat matzah first and then I do korech, so then I wouldn't be yotzei maror because the matzah, I was already fulfilled the obligation. Now eating extra matzah is only reshut, and the matzah comes in mevatel the maror. But you could have made an argument that it's not the maisa mitzvah or the kiyum ha-mitzvah that's relevant here. It's the cheftza shel mitzvah. Is the object, is what types of objects are halachically significant and how do they interact with each other? Tosfot doesn't buy that. Because Tosfot says, no. The matzah, if I start with korech and matzah is daraita and maror is darabanan, then I run the problem of being mevatel the matzah. But if I start with matzah, then go to korech, so now the matzah is reshut, now the matzah will be mevatel the maror. It'll go in the other direction. So clearly, also the bittel isn't about the cheftza, it's actually a formal question about the kium ha-mitzvah, right? The fulfillment of the mitzvah that I am having when I do this act. And therefore, the matzah in one possible construal would be that which is mivutal, that which is nullified by the maror. Morty, there's a chair right here. Where on the other hand, it could be the matzah is the one doing the bittel on the maror, and again, that makes it very clear that it's not the objects, right? It's something about the fulfillment of the mitzvah, which again, in a Meiri like model, that it's about the chiyuv of mitzvah, it's about how do I relate to the performance of a mitzvah, it's obvious in that context that what's at stake is, what is the level of the fulfillment of the mitzvah that I'm doing, rather than Rashbam, where things are more complicated, because when you think it's about taste, it's not about the kiyum mitzvah, it's about the cheftza, it's about the object. What is going to be nullifying the taste of what, barring for a moment our complexity within the Rashbam. But I'm just pointing out that certain of the answers, like Tom, sound much more like they're about what cheftza do I have in front of me, rather than what is halachically happening, where a model, let's say, like the Meiri, works in that sense much more like Tosfot, where he says it's about the kiyum ha-mitzvah, where the matzah, again, at one stage, could be right down there, that which is threatened by the extraneous objects, but a moment later could be that which is threatening because it loses its status. It's now the reshut in this picture, and now the maror, which before was the attacker, is now the attacked. Right, and that only works if you focus on chibuv mitzvah. Maybe on hefsek it would work, right? Maybe on hefsek it would work because now you're talking about the kiyum ha-mitzvah, what is halachically recognized in this situation, what isn't. So today I want to wrap it up. So let us, you know, I'm going to leave the Rambam for a second. Let's go to, what? Oh, yeah. Is he sick?
I don't know. Josh told me he looked out of it this morning. I don't know.
Okay. Fine. Again, we have a few little points to cover. So, again, one of the questions that I wanted to, that we said we would talk about was the question of Zecher LeMikdash. So, and as we mentioned, there are different types of Zecher LeMikdash. Again, I've said this several times already. One Zecher LeMikdash is where the Zecher LeMikdash is the why. Sometimes the Zecher LeMikdash is the what. Meaning sometimes, because I want to commemorate the Mikdash, I am motivated to institute a halacha, but the halacha that is now instituted is a full chiyuv, it's a full, let's say, halacha derabanan, in other times, that by calling something a zeichel mikdash, that's the what I'm saying is this isn't even a normal derabanan. It's a lesser halacha. And again, the example I gave, and maybe we'll come back to it, is the Sfirat HaOmer one, where you have the position in the Gemara that because Sfirat HaOmer nowadays is only derabanan, so mimne yome velo mimne shvua, you only count days and not weeks, where it's clear that Zeichel Mikdash, according to that position, means that it is a mere zecher. The cheftza, the mitzvah you're doing is now an abnormal mitzvah. Whereas the way we count Sfira, so according to the Rambam, that's because, well, according to Rishonim, there's a machlok Rishonim, the fact that we count Yomei v'Shavuei, what does that prove? Does that prove that we hold that it's d'oraita b'zman hazeh? Or do we hold that it's d'rabbanan, but the way we set up the Zeichel HaMikdash is not by creating a mitzvah minus, which is a mere zecher, but using the zecher to motivate us to set up a full d'rabbanan, which mimics the d'oraita. And that's a machlok Rishonim, because the fact that we count days and weeks can either be taken to show that we hold that Sfira is d'oraita, because if it were a zecher, it would be incomplete, or is a proof that when we set up a zecher, we set it up completely, and we relegate zecher to the realm of motivation, of the whys, but the what is that you count Sfira the way you would in the time of Chazal, right? So those are two different types of zecher. And again, we can talk about different types of zecher. But as I mentioned, by Korech, that's particularly important. Because according to the Rishbam and according to Tosfot, what did Korech look like originally? Pesach Matzah Maror. Pesach Matzah Maror. So if that's the case, then nowadays, by requiring any sort of Korech, what are we doing? We're requiring something that is inherently lacking. So just like the Gemara in Menachot says that Sfirat HaOmer, because it's Zecher LeMikdash, Mimne Yomei Velo Mimne Shvuei, we count days and we don't count weeks, according to the Rashbam, that's what Korech is. Korech, when we say it's Zecher LeMikdash, we mean it's a mere Zecher LeMikdash. That's not just the why, that's the what. How do I know it's the what and not just the why? Because it is impossible to fully mimic the mitzvah of Korech in the time of the Mikdash, because there's no Pesach. So by saying I do it, what I'm doing is I'm mandating something that is inherently lacking. Now again, if you wanted to, you could push it and say, maybe not, because maybe it's still the why, it's still the motivation, but now I set up a formal chiyuv of doing matzah and maror, which even though it is incomplete, it's a formal chiyuv derabanan based on a zecher. You could do that. But again, that becomes less likely when the zecher is itself definitionally lacking in its mimic abilities. Who doesn't run into this problem and opens up the possibility that the zecher is an actual mimicking of that which was d'oraita in the time of the mikdash, and now I'm doing it nowadays, though not at the same level, but I'm doing the same act, right? Which suggests that the zecher is of a higher level, meaning, or that it's a real derabanan because it's not lacking. I mean, what I'm doing is I'm telling you, do that which you would have done in the mikdash when it was d'oraita, do it fully now as derabanan. Who opens up the possibility of saying such a thing? The Rambam. Because if you remember, we saw this earlier on when we were doing the Sugya of Kaf Chaf, the Rambam thinks that even time in the mikdash, what did Korech look like? Just matzah and maror. Which means that which we have is not a poultry mimicking of that which is true in the time of the mikdash. We're doing what you did in the mikdash. It just happens to be that for all the reasons we talked about on Daf Kuf Chaf, you're technically on chayiv in maror nowadays. But the act I'm doing is the same. It happens to be that it doesn't have the same oomph. It's no longer d'oraita, but the act is the same, which pushes much more in the direction of saying that it's not a mir zecher, because how can you say it's a mir zecher? I'm doing Chazal are mandating that I do that which biblically I'm not obligated to do. So let's look at the Rambam. So, Let's look at the Rambam. Hold the thought for 1 second. Let's read the Rambam again. Let's remind ourselves that the Rambam actually said this, and then I'll take it, okay? So Rambam says in number 3, V'achar kach korech matzah umaror ke'achad. And then you wrap the matzah umaror, umetabel becharoset. So again, we also saw that the Rambam uniquely thinks that the matzah umaror is dipped in charoset, which we talked about extensively in charoset, but now, these two get all, are... Now, it could just be that he says you dip it in charoset because, well, even if you're having matzah and maror, there's still poison or whatever in the maror. What? Correct. The fact that he thinks you dip the matzah maror sandwich makes it very clear that this is like, especially since in the Mishnah Torah, unlike in the Perush Mishnayot, if you remember the stira that we dealt with extensively, then the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot says we don't paskin that it's a mitzvah. And in the Mishnah Torah, paskins charoset is a mitzvah. And then we talked about what does the Rambam think the mitzvah is. Is it really a stira? Or is it that he says we don't paskin it's an independent mitzvah, but we paskin it's a dependent mitzvah. It's part of achilat matzah umaror. But the but let's take that interpretation that we saw in the Rambam. What would that mean? That for the Rambam, it's very clear that if I'm dipping the matzah umaror, like this is... Yeah, this is the chefetz shel mitzvah. This object, this matzah umaror... At some level, is the chefetz shel mitzvah. He says, "Mavarech baruch Hashem l'chol ma'aseh k'shem zodinu l'chilat matzah umirorim." Now, if you wanted that, yeah, it's very clear that the Rambam in the original version thinks that what you would have said is you make a joint bracha of matzah umirorim. Right? It's very clear that according to the Rambam, in the time of the mikdash, the mitzvah really was matzah umirorim. That's the bracha. And if you eat them separately, now who does he hold like? Is this like Hillel or not like Hillel? So it's not clear. According to Hillel, according to Tosfot, that according to Hillel, Hillel says you should eat them together, but if you don't, you're also Yotzei. Then what the Rambam is saying is Hillel. No, it's Hillel. No, it's Hillel. It's exactly Hillel. Is I should. What Rambam just said is what Tosfot said Hillel is. Okay. I don't know. It sounds like it is, because it sounds like that's the ideal. But okay. I would have said the Rambam holds like Tosfot's Hillel. I guess you could say it's the Chumim that you can. I don't know. He definitely doesn't hold like Rashbam's Hillel, which is you must eat them together because he tells you. You don't have to. So he either holds like Tosfot's Hillel. Kobe argues that he holds like Tosfot's Chachamim. He definitely doesn't hold like Rashbam's Hillel. And he definitely doesn't hold like Rashbam the first day in the Gemara that it's Usser. But he might hold like that the Shita that it's Mutter. Meaning Kobe is arguing that he either holds like the Rashbam's third position, which is that it's Mutter, or the Chachamim's position, which is that it's Mutter. I would argue that this is Tosfot's Hillel. Right, it could be. And it could also be that he thinks the Chachamim think it's ideal. Right, he could have a slightly stronger view than the Rashbam and say that no, maybe what Tosfot says is true of Hillel, maybe it's true according to everybody. Maybe Hillel holds it at a stronger level, but maybe everyone thinks it's the ideal way, and especially based on what we said by the Rav, that everyone, remember, the Rav's analysis that everybody thinks that matzah and maror are paired. Right, it's not that Hillel holds their one chefza and everyone else holds their two separate mitzvot. It's that the machloket is how do you best pair them into a single object or one after the other, but it's a pairing. Right, there is still a link. The second you say something like that, the Rama makes a lot of sense, just like we suggested within Tosfot, within Rashbam, because once you say that that according to all shitot, matzah and maror are not separate, they're linked mitzvot, and the only question is, do you actually have to eat them together? Can you eat them one after the other and view it as a pairing, not as a sandwich? So then again, you could say that within Hillel, which is what Tosfot does, but you could also say within the Chachamim according to Tosfot, or this third sheet of the Rashbam, and say, even they would say there's something added by the Korechim. Then he says, V'acharkach, and after that, this is the time of the Mikdash, So just in case you had any suffix, whether he literally just meant matzah maror, he tells you, you eat this, say that bracha, and only then do you have the carbon pesach. Right, so first you have chagiga, then you have pesach. Right, the bracha on the chagiga doesn't exempt the bracha on the pesach, nor vice versa. And now he says bizman hazeh. But what about nowadays? She'ein sham karban, that we don't have the karban pesach. Achar shem bevareich hamotzi lechem. After you say hamotzi, what do? Chozem bevarech al achilat matzah. Umitabel matzah b'charoset ochel. You have matzah and you dip the matzah. V'chozer mevarech al achilat maror mitabel maror b'charoset ochel. And then you have maror and you dip it in charoset v'lo yisho to b'charoset and you don't leave it there. Sheva yivat al tamo. V'zu mitzvah mitivei sofrim. This is the Rabbanan. V'chozer v'korech matzah umaror. Umitabel b'charoset, and then you have matzah and maror, and you dip it in charoset. V'ochlan b'lo bracha zecher lemikdash, and you eat it without a bracha zecher lemikdash. Now the Rav has several pieces of this, and I'm not going to read it for you inside. But if I asked you now, okay, we said that in theory, according to the Rambam. In theory, according to the Rambam, we could have suggested that what? Actually, you know what? I do want to read you one line from that. Can you just get me the Harei Kedem Chelik Bet? You know where it is? You know where it is, right? It's the last. You know, you see, you get it. It's the last one on the top. Right, so again, but what did we say according to the Rambam? According to the Rambam, because unlike the Rashbam, he thinks that in the time of the Mikdash, the Korech sandwich was itself only Matzah Maror and not Pesach. So that opens up the possibility that's not open for the Rashbam of saying that the type of Zecher Mikdash we have now is a perfect mimicry. Right? Again, because B'mitziut, according to the Rashbam, there's a missing element. Whereas for the Rambam, he thinks that this is exactly what the Korech sandwich always looked like. So it opens up the possibility of a higher level Zecher. However, is it definitive? Good. So but we don't know what it does, right? Meaning, a priori, if you just said that, if you had just told me in a vacuum that the maror matzah sandwich, thank you, the maror matzah sandwich of the Rambam, even on the Mikdash, was matzah maror, and then I asked you to posit, okay, so what does that tell me about the Zecher LaMikdash? I would have said, okay, well, it opens up the possibility to raising the level of the of the status of the Zecher, but it doesn't, it's not in any way. Okay, good. So let me, here, you know, I'll read you a little bit here from the Rav, okay? So the Rav says, okay, so according to the Rashbam, I know how to test whether it's a mir zecher l'mikdash or not. How do I test it? Does it look like the mikdash? But according to the Rambam, that it is the same chefza. So how am I supposed to test whether what I'm doing now is zecher l'mikdash as the why or zecher l'mikdash as the what? How do I test it according to the Rambam? Because it is the same chefza. Right, so again, conceptually, it's possible to say, well, I'm fully mimicking the Mikdash, which gives it a higher chiyuv. But not necessarily. It could be that you have something to mirror Zecher LaMikdash, and you still choose to do the Zecher via a pure mimicry. Maybe no, come on, very simple. What's the easiest way? What? Very good. And he says, So the Rav is medayik, very interestingly, that if you look at the Rambam, he wants to prove that even though according to the Rambam it is a perfect mimicry, the Rambam still thinks that the Zecher L'Mikdash is the what and not the why. And now how would you test it for the Rambam? He says, look at his language. Have the matzah, have the maror. The maror he calls what? A mitzvah midivrei sofrim. And how does that mean if... Read the line again. The chozer mevarach al chilat maror. Eat the maror with a bracha. Why? Zu mitzvah midivrei sofrim. Because it's a mitzvah dirabana. The chozer v'korech matzah maror metalo becharoset ve'ochlan below bracha zecher l'mikdash. And then have the matzah maror without a bracha zecher l'mikdash. Now, what's the better reason? What should the Rambam have said why you don't make a bracha?
Because you've already made bracha.
Very good. Because you already made brachot. What if... Oh, very good. Right? He could have just said, well, you know, you already made the brachot. Or maybe you're supposed to eat it separately when there's no mikdash, and that's why you make the brachot then. But the Rambam is this weird language that he...
That like you, because it's a zecher.
Exactly. You say you eat it without a bracha because it's a zecher. So the Rav says the fact that Rambam formulated it that way implies that what the Rambam is telling you, that again, the Rambam doesn't, he doesn't say this mimicry point. This is my addition. But despite the fact that you could have said this is a higher level zecher because I'm perfectly mimicking that's when the mikdash, the Rambam is drawing attention to the fact that maror is a proper mitzvah midivrei sofrim, and therefore it's derabanan, but it requires a bracha. Right. But korech is purely a zecha. That's not just the why, that's the what. It's a lower level derabanan. It's a mere zecher. And that's why ein mevarach. He notes the Rosh says something very similar. The Rosh actually bases it on a suffix. Not because it's a zecher, but because it's a suffix, whether I have to do it this way or I have to do it separately. And then the Rav connects it here to Sefirat HaOmer, as I already mentioned. Right, this is where the Rav says that, yeah, this is how you have to connect it to the entire analysis by Sefirat HaOmer. So that's the Rav's first point. And if you want to look it up inside, it's a very short piece, but you can see it's Simon Sadi Bet here, just this piece. In our Akedem. Then the Rav has a second piece in Sadi Gimel called Binyan Korech Bizman Hazeh. So again, he notes, I'll just run through it because he summarizes it. He says, okay, Rashbam says three Shita. Tosud says two Shita. Then he notes, as I've told you before, that this is also Machloket Balamor Ramban. Now, according to the Rambam, who says that in general, that in the time of the Mikdash, you ate it together, but you could eat it separately. Who does that sound like? So he thinks like Kobe, not like me. He thinks like Kobe that this is the Chachamim of the Braita. He doesn't know the possibility that this is Tosfot Hillel. And he notes that the Lechem Mishnah holds like Kobe. Right? That the Rambam is possibly the Chachamim, not like Tosfot Hillel. Okay, then he notes that according to Tosfot, why do I have to do matzah, then maror, and then korech? So we already said, why did Tosfot say? Because once you eat the matzah as a bracha, with a bracha as the mitzvah, it now goes from Daraita all the way down to Rishut, and now it's going to be Mevatel, the Maror. Then he notes that in the Gemara, there does seem to be a suffix LaHalacha we paskin, right? Like Hillel or the Rabbanan. But now the Rav says there's a problem. If he's right in his original analysis, that he's paskening in the Mikdash, like the Rabbanan, because he says you can't eat them separately, which ostensibly Hill wouldn't allow. But that's not, again, the Rav doesn't know. This is not clear. According to Tosafot, Hill only ever thought you should do this, but not that you have to. So I'm not convinced. But okay, fine. But he says, if that's the case, why nowadays, right? So the Rav asked a very simple question, is if Kobe is right, that the Rambam paskens like the Chachamim, not like Hillel, not this, not Tosafot Hillel, but like the Chachamim according to the Rashbam, that everyone agrees you could eat it together or you could eat it separately, right? Sheets are three in the Rashbam. What's the problem? Is that if you paskin like Hillel and there's Mana Mikdash, then I understand why you would bother doing a Zecher Mikdash like Hillel. But if you paskin like the Rabbanan, that even when there is a Karban Pesach and they're both Daraita, you only can, if you want, eat them together, but you don't have to, then why in God's name would you do a Zecher HaMikdash Kehillel? That makes no sense. If you paskin like Hillel, then it makes sense that you would do a Zecher HaMikdash Kehillel. But you paskin like the Rabbanan, so why would you now make a Zecher HaMikdash? So either it's a Safek, but here's where the Rav introduces his possibility. He says, no! It's that, remember what Tosafot thinks Hillel holds, the Rambam must hold that, at some level the Chachamim hold that. Meaning, correct. That Tosafot holds that Hillel only holds as preferable. But maybe what you have to correct is this, that the Rashbam says according to the Chachamim is mutter, maybe this is wrong. Maybe the Rashbam according to the Chachamim is that, what Tosafot holds, Hillel holding, which is, it's preferable, and therefore, what does it mean, Zecher HaMikdash Kehillel? It's that this is maybe the Rambam holds like Rashbam, that the Hillel holds your Chayav, the Chachamim hold you should, and what does Zecher HaMikdash Kehillel mean? That the Chachamim also agree that's the ideal way of doing it, and we do a Zecher of the way Hillel said you had to do it, because even the Chachamim are moda that you should do it that
and
way.
Therefore, it's purely manifest as Zecher, even if you hold like that. It's more specifically a Zecher if you hold like that.
Right. And then he pushes it even farther. And he says, as I've mentioned now five times, that according to the Rav, everybody holds that matzah and marah are eaten b'tzeruv, but that they're connected.
Right.
And that's why it would make more sense, because he would say, look, maybe in the time of the Mikdash, the Chachamim more and more likely let you split it because you're having Pesach and you're having Matzah and Maror. But nowadays, you're only having Pesach, you're only having Matzah and Maror, and therefore, there is a... Right? So the Rav pushes it farther, and he says, maybe, look, when there's a Pesach, and the Matzah and the Maror at some level subservient, and definitely the Maror is subservient to the Pesach, so maybe there we'd be less insistent on pushing the synthesized Matzah Maror. But when there's no Pesach, the Maror is not subject to the Pesach. What is it? It's either standalone or possibly, according to the Rambam, subservient to the Matzah. And therefore, Dafka, now you would want a Zecher. And he says, yeah, that's what it means. Hashtalo idmer lo kilvol karabonan. So according to the Rambam, he says, the Chachamim, according to Yehuda, hold that you don't do Kricha. Hillel says you need it. But then there's the third Shita that you should. You don't have to, but they need to be paired. But then nowadays, we would encourage you to Dafka, eat it in the sandwich way. Okay, just give me just 1 second. Let me just make sure there's nothing else I want to see here. Give me 1 second. Okay, then the Rav gets into the question of whether the original Korech was Pesach Matzah Maror or Matzah Maror, as we've already seen. He notes that there are different Gersot in the Haggadot, just so you know that. And then, remember what I told you? The question of, is the Kricha only Zecher LeMikdash or the Iker Mitzvah? So he notes that the what I said, that this might depend on whether our korech is merely a zeich l'mikdash or actually the way you bring kaim in the mitzvah, is talui in the machloket, Rashbam and Tos and Rambam, whether the original korech was Pesach matzah maror or matzah and maror. So the Prima Gadim says, well, if it's matzah maror, that means you're still doing it the way it was in the mikdash, so you can look at korech as the ikar kiyum. Whereas if you think that the original one was Pesach matzah maror, then this is merely a zecher, and if it's only as merely a zecher, then obviously this is not the kiyum ha-mitzvah. And this is where the Rav pushes back, as we said, is no. The Rambam, right, so the Prima Gadim, oh, I'm going to do this one, give me one second, Gobi. Right, the Prima Gadim says, well, if you hold that Korech looks the same now as it did in the Mikdash, that means this is the Ikar Mitzvah. And if you think that it's missing a key element, because you thought the original had Pesach, then that means this is merely a Zecher. But as we pointed out, that's not right. If you hold like the Rambam, that the original Korech was only Matzah and Maror, does that mean you necessarily hold that this is a high-level Kiyum HaMitzvah? No, it just means that you can hold that way. Not that you have to. Right? According to the Rashbam, it's a one-directional Nafkamina. The Rashbam can't believe that this is the Ikar Kiyum of Matzah and Maror because it's clearly lacking the fundamental element, i.e. the Pesach. According to the Rambam, this is the same Korech that happened to Mikdash, so now you have two options. Either it is the same and therefore it's a high-level kiyum, or even though it's the same object, it's a mir zecher. And as we're already medayik in the Rambam, despite the fact that you could say it's a high-level kiyum, like this is the ikar kiyum, it's clear from the Rambam, by his emphasis that you don't make a bracha, that despite the fact that it's that the same chefza, exactly. Now the Rav is an interesting proof for this, which is that what's the Gemara's source text of eating matzah maror together? You remember? Pesach Sheni. Right? It's Pesach Sheni. Right? So he argues that the reason the Rambam would believe this is because the pasuk that implies you're supposed to eat them together, bichlal, comes from Pesach Sheni, which makes it clear that it's a din in the Pesach mamash and not in Chag HaMatzot. And that's why the Rambam, despite the fact that the same chefza, is going to say, but it can't possibly be a high-level chiyuv, because the whole notion of them being eaten together like this is from a pasuk, which is a din that's only about Korban Pesach. It's about Pesach Sheni, which has nothing to do with Chag HaMatzot. What? Correct, but that's which is a result of it being contingent on Pesach.
Or possibly matzah within this din of Korah.
What?
Or possibly matzah within this din of Korah.
Correct. Okay.
Being eaten together as a subsidiary of the Korban Pesach.
Okay.
So there's an aspect of the matzah that would now be Korban Pesach, whereas matzah in its own kiyuv would be
Korban. Okay. Now what is the... what's a nafkamina to this? So guys, let's just end off... Let's end with a nafkamina here. What is a nafkamina to this question?
Go. So I don't understand though why the Rambam would structure it like this, that we if it can be accomplished, would we be able to accomplish the mitzvah of matzah? As well, would we not be able to accomplish the mitzvah of matzah as well as zecher within the same act of korach?
Not necessarily. Okay. Right, not necessarily, because still one's because matzah is still d'oraita.
Right.
Tomorrow is still d'rabbanan.
Yeah. I guess I'm biased because they always like to say dinim and says, we do have precedent. Do we not have precedent for like things being zechers as well as being, I guess matzah would be, Okay, fine, never mind.
And that's not clear, right? That's the question. Okay, fine. Now what would enough community be this question? So, interestingly, it's the following little halacha, which is, when you're at your Seder, so someone, imagine your Seder for a second. So what do? You sit, when you finish Magid, what do now?
Rachsa.
Good, what do?
Wash your hands.
Then, make a bracha of both of hamotzi and achilat matzah. And you eat matzah. Then what do? Don't sing for me. Tell me what you do. No. Thank you. You make a bracha, and then you eat marah. Then what do?
Then you say
zeichal mikdash kehillel, and you. And then you eat the korech. What's the problem? Very good. Is that you are saying the word Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel. Now that's a problem because why are you eating korech? So one possibility is because, as the Gemara ended off, safek. If you read our Gemara Pshuto Kimashmo, the Gemara says, why do you do korech? Safek whether we pass in the chum like Hillel. If it's a safek, that means that what are you doing when you eat korech? You are possibly fulfilling your mitzvah of matzah and maror, or maror, whatever. If that's the case, should you say Zeichel Lamikdash? No, why not? Because it's an interruption between the mitzvah, the bracha on the matzah and the bracha on the maror, and now you are eating matzah and maror the way you're supposed to eat it, but the bracha or chal on this. So what would that mean? Should you say the word Zeichel Lamikdash? No, and who holds that? So, the Omer. So the simple pshat is who holds that? Shulchan Aruch. Because Shulchan Aruch says, the Omer Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel V'Ochlan B'Yachad Be'Aseiva. You say Zeichel Mikdash and you eat it. But he says, Mishaber Chachil Matzah, Lo Yasich B'Davar She'inu Minyan Asuda, Jilho Kri Chazu, Kedei Shetala B'Yachad Achil Matzah, B'Yachad Achil Mar, Gam Le Kri Chazu. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that the bracha, you're not supposed to talk between matzah and maror because you're being mekayim korech as a suffix of the way you're supposed to be mekayim matzah maror. Now, what's the problem? He said zeichel mikdash kehillel, but a strict read of this would tell you that you don't say it. At least you don't say it. You'd have to be... Yeah, very good. So, Shlomo Zalman's... So, for example... Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you say Zeichel Mikdash, but when do you say it? Afterwards. It's a mistake in our Haggadah. You don't say it before, you say it afterwards, because you can't be mafsik. Correct. Well, it might be, because you're continuously eating, so it might be fine. But at least talking... Shulchan Aruch says don't do. And again, Rosh Hashanah Zalman says that includes the Zeichel Mikdash, and therefore you should say Zeichel Mikdash afterwards. However, if the reason that you're doing Korich is not because of Safek, but because the way we're Medayik in the Rambam, that what? It's a pure Zeicher. Then is there a problem with Hesek? No, even more so. There's no problem with Hesek, and Kal Vachomer, there's no problem. There shouldn't be a problem with Hesek at all, and Kal Vachomer, there shouldn't be a problem with Hesek in the verbalization of Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel, because that is the kium in the mitzvah. One second. And where do you see that might be true? Where would you get such a diuk? Because the Rambam actually says, you don't say a bracha, but you do say Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel. Which makes it sound like the Zeichel Mikdash, the verbalization of Zeichel Mikdash is what? Exactly. It is defining a Zeichel Mikdash. Now, just give me a second for halacha. So if you look at the Gra, The Gra quotes, I'm Taz, the Hillel, Yatzel, Lebezu, we have a Hefsek. But what's the Svar for saying you don't have any Hefsek? Because you're being the kind that mitzvah misafik. The Taz says, Peirsh Lehillel, is an Iker mitzvah bezu. Akarhu, Shaykhel, Berchat, Chilat, Matzah, Dal Zekoi. The Gamgen, Lo Hefsek, Elabamad, Lo Tzarech, Le. Elabamad, Shit Tzarech, Gontol, Kroch. Law of AFSF. So he said, obviously, if you need something, you can say it, just like after you wash in general, you can say pass the salt, so it's not a hefsik. That's fine. And you might have thought that if you make a hefsik, you have to say amotzi again. Etc. The kanami tzarech latzei dehil, da amrina megamara, hashalim reyoch lo kamar velo kamar, avida kechomer tshavayu, but the tour, does it make it sound like this is the Iker Halacha? No. Because there's Mashab the Eved in Lachos Lachs or Lavarech, which makes it sound like it's not a real suffix. Mishnah Brura says, Rat Salomar, the Hados in Anu Zecher the Mikdash, Vaze Iker Mitzvah Rakbe Kricha, Velachin Tsarch Lohasik, Dishlach Law Bracha la Kricha. And he paskins like the Mikol Makom, Ein Zel Chatchila. The Ber Halacha says, Kasha lo amira zu have a hefsek. But the Ber Halacha says, okay, but if I really believe that misafik, there's a problem, and therefore you shouldn't talk, you also shouldn't say zecher lemikdash. Except you could have easily come up with a compromise position, which is, you could have said maybe you shouldn't talk in other things, but you should say zecher lemikdash kilo. Exactly. Like, maybe you want to say, fine, don't talk about other things, because it's ich shehu, somehow connected to the bracha of the matzah maror. But saying that zecher lemikdash is not, and that's why, even though we'll see, the Ber Halacha doesn't like it. But the minag ha-pashut, what's the standard minag, I assume in all your haggadah, is to say, and again, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says afterwards, but Piskei Tshuva, Rebbe Ovadia, they all say, no, what are you talking about? The minag ha-pashut is like a Rambam. You say zecher lemikdash. And why would you say such a thing? Because again, you would say that, no, that is the mitzvah, is zecher lemikdash. Now, even if you don't want to do other hefsek, right? Again, that's only lechatchila, but to say the word zecher lemikdash, no, that's exactly the point. So you look at the Ber Halacha, it says, kasha lo amirazu have a hefsek ben bracha lekricha, v'mechaber matzav v'sim she'en lo lasiach. He said, I understand, how could the Shulchan Aruch on the one say zecher lemikdash, on the other hand say that you can't be mesiach? So you could say that he means like the Shlomo Zalman, which is say the Zecher afterwards. Or maybe he doesn't think you actually verbalize the Zecher. But the simple pshat in Shulchan Aruch is, don't do any other hefsek, but say Zecher Mikdash Kela. Why would that be? What? Well, or maybe Shulchan Aruch is saying like the Rambam, don't say anything else, but say Zecher Mikdash Kela, because that's part of it. That's what the Rav is arguing. Right? And therefore he says, and the Ber Halacha says, I don't think that saying zecher lemikdash kilo is like saying pass the salt, which is mutter. And he says, I've never seen anyone have this gears to the mechaber. The Ber Halacha solution is, you're not supposed to say anything. You don't say zecher lemikdash kilo, you do zecher lemikdash kilo. He doesn't say you say it at all. Rav Shlomo Zalman says say it, but say it afterwards, meaning fundamentally agreeing with him. But the Mishnah Brura is mechadesh that maybe you don't say it at all. But again, the fact that Shulchan Aruch pashup shot says you actually say it, and the Rambam is very clear that you say it. The Rav uses that to prove no. That's the whole point. Is that this is a chalos zecher lemikdash, and therefore saying the word zecher lemikdash kehilul is not just nice. It's the mitzvah. It's this mitzvah of zecher lemikdash, and that's why he says, right? And therefore he says, now he says, like Rosh Zalman, as a Yesh Lomar, maybe you say it afterwards, and the Mishnah Berurah said, if it was up to him, he would have taken out the gears at all. I would have said it's a mistake that he said the words Omer. The verbalization is a mistake. You don't verbalize it. But again, the Rav's argument is no. If you read the Rambam Kipshuto, that this is a chalo zecher mikdash, verbalizing zecher mikdash is not a hefsek. It is.
Well,
what defines and contextualizes this mitzvah. Correct. It's something else. It's a zikr. So it sounds like you're supposed to, right? Meaning, you're right. He might not. I have no opinion on whether Rambam would say lechatchila you shouldn't talk. Rambam didn't say anything. You're right. But the notion that the word zecher lemikdash should cause a problem obviously is crazy. Whether the other half thinks a problem, again, the Torah thinks it's only lechatchila. Once you're in the world of lechatchila, I mean, like, okay, yes, no, whatever. Okay, so that is the end of Korech.